Hi, this is Paul Warne, and you're listening to the Rams Review Podcast.
This is the Rams Review Podcast. Discussions, insights, interviews, and analysis. All passion, all Derby County.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Rams Review Podcast with your host, Jason, for this week. And we were hoping to be talking a lot of positivity after we thought Derby County might have turned the corner last Saturday, beating Bolton. Alas, it was the performance after the Lord Mayor's Show. Not the case. Derby back to their old ways. A 1-0 defeat to the hands of Northampton Town, which we are all going to be talking about. And joining me this week is regular panellist, it's fair to say now, Chris Holt. Chris, how are we doing?
Good evening, gentlemen. Good evening, Jason. Very well, thank you.
Good. And Jack Bryan. Jack, how are we doing, mate?
Yeah, good, thanks. Not great Saturday, but there's some good games coming up as well. So, you know, we'll look back, and then I've got some stuff to look forward to for the weekend as well. So should be a decent episode that isn't all depressing, at least.
Well, fingers crossed, but yes, we're going to cover that disappointing performance and result at Six Fields on Saturday. We're going to be looking forward to a Good Friday fixture at home against Blackpool, which is going to be an intriguing one. I really don't know what to think anymore following Derby, but we'll go into that. And then, as Jack's alluded to, it's not just a big game for Derby men this weekend. Derby women face local rivals Nottingham Forest, so we'll have a preview of that. And we might slip into some Portsmouth chat, but I'm actually thinking we might have another podcast out before then. But we shall see. Jack, we'll start with Saturday. Obviously, on the pod, the last pod, you know, it was jubilation. Derby had managed to get one over one of the leading pack, something that they've not done all too often this season. And they did feel something around, for me personally, and I know other guests on the pod said the same. Not that it was a season-defining game, but if you come out on the right end of it, there was just something about it which made you look at those final seven fixtures and think, you know, even Derby will struggle to mess this up. But here we are, 7 days later, and I'm not taking anything away from Northampton, and I'm going to... There's a couple of, couple of players I thought stood out for Northampton. But we look at it from a Derby's perspective, Jack. Derby just didn't turn up again. And that's something that we've not seen all too often recently. Certainly not away from home. I don't know if there was an arrogance of expectation of going there and just bowling them over. But, you know, it just from start to finish Saturday, there was nothing good, great to talk about from Derby. Even the three glaring misses that we had, I mean, they are negative points in the game, because as it has been over the majority of this season, certainly the last sort of 2 months, we've won games like that and recently, Jack, but that's because we've weathered a storm and put the ball in the back of the net away from home. Saturday, we weathered a storm, but we just didn't put the ball in the back of the net. And then it brings back all those old questions about strikers, about individuals not performing, consistency of other players. And then we have to touch on the, seven-man strong injury list that's now all of a sudden reared its ugly head again. I mean, it's just one thing after another with Derby. It can't just be matters on the pitch. We've now got to lick our wounds, and we're down to bare bones again for Friday night and probably the rest of the season by the looks of it. But I would say lots to talk about in that whole sentence really there. But Jack, Saturday, it's the Derby that we hope we'd got rid of, isn't it?
It is. It's exactly that. And, you know, after the Bolton game and the massive high of, wow, we've won a huge six-pointer, this, you know, things are looking pretty good now. You know, you always knew it wasn't going to be easy. You can't get complacent in that respect, even from that point. But even with that in mind, Saturday was a real disappointment, a real blow. And for any, you know, if anybody, which I don't think really anybody did, but if you thought we were kind of all but there, you thought we were in a, you know, a position where we weren't, there was no, you know, we weren't going to mess it up and there was absolutely zero chance, which, you know, even the most optimistic would have, you know, seen the potential for this to happen. I don't think we could have seen this coming in quite the way it did. And it really was a crash back down to earth, back to reality. I mean, Derby, yeah, three glaring misses. Of course, you know, people say, well, if one of those goes in, it's a different game. You know, Waghorn scores that one before they score, and you know, it's different, but it's coulda, woulda, shoulda. And you know, it's the old adage, if you don't take your chances, you know, you'll get punished. And that's exactly what Saturday was. I mean, to be fair to Northampton, they sat back a lot at times, but they did so well. They were, you know, they came with a, they had a game plan, they executed it, they sat in, hit us on the counter, and then kind of grew into that game. I mean, in terms of Derby, and I think in part because of that, and in part because of how Derby played, you know, something that Sean Barker was saying on Rams TV the whole time was, you know, it doesn't look like there's space out there. And whether that was because Northampton did a good job, or whether Derby were doing a bad job and couldn't find the space, it's probably somewhere in between. But I mean, as I wrote in my piece, it almost looked at times as if, you know, it could have been a rugby game. It could have been that they had 15 players on the pitch with the amount they had back and the way they were still able to get forward. But yeah, it's an odd one, a really quite deflating one with the injuries that have then happened. You know, we found out about afterwards and the injury that occurred to Mendes Lang as well during the game. And yeah, I mean, realistically, we're, you know, I'd have sat here last week and said, what, four or five wins probably does it. If you are saying that from seven, with Northampton seen as one we're likely to take something from, that's a much stronger position. Whereas now you're thinking, right, four, maybe five, you probably got to go to Fratton Park and get something. And I think that's where the concerns have really crept in when you then factor in the injury list also. And I mean, on that injury list, if we seem to have so many players who are, you know, injury prone, and that's kind of, you know, and we've signed a lot of injury prone players, then, you know, I'll be getting a call next. I'm expecting something next week, you know. If that's, you look at some of the strikers we've signed and some of the, you know, the injury records they've had, yeah, not, you know, I'll be there in my wheelchair next game I'm at, and I'll get, you know, tapped up by a scout or something.
Yeah, I need to rule myself out. Just put it up there. I'm definitely not fit enough. I'm not definitely not fit enough at the moment for that. But yeah, absolute spot on with everything, Jack and Chris. Before we go diving into the details of the game, sort of what I said and what Jack's just covered, that is the deflating thing. We were riding a crest of a wave. Wasn't thinking job was done, but it's the manner of the way Derby played again on Saturday that's probably the more deflating thing for me. We weren't going to win all seven. We've said it on the podcast. You could that result in isolation is one thing. It comes at a business end and it comes after the Bolton game. That's what makes it a bit bigger. Derby could go and beat Blackpool and go and beat Portsmouth. There's nothing to say that they can't go and do that. But if they perform like they did on Saturday, they're not going to be getting anything out of either two games. And then we could be absolute gone and start falling like with a bit of a whimper, especially because of injuries. But I mean, credit where credit's due. I can see why Northampton, I'd like to say, have probably mathematically stayed up now. I can see there was a game plan that they had. Their forward, was he number eight? I think he was their forward lad, big lad. He put himself about a bit. I thought he did quite a decent job. I thought he caused Bradley no end of trouble. on Saturday, and I don't think Cashin had the greatest of games on Saturday either. But and then you know they were rough. They got stuck in. Everything you expect from a League Two side last season that they've implemented into League One this year, and I can, as I say, I can see why they pick up results, but still, to elude it all off, Chris, that's a game Derby should, in the position that they were in going into that game on a crest of a wave, that's a game Derby should have been coming away with 3 points.
I don't disagree. I think one thing you have to remember when you go into football games is your mental strength. Yeah, we've got injuries at the moment and we're clearly fatigued as well. But I think mentally, we just didn't look remotely interested, even the warm-up. I thought the warm-up, we looked particularly average and almost complacent. And I think Paul Warne alluded to that as well in the interview after. They just didn't warm up very well. It was almost like, we've turned up, they're going to give us the 3 points, let's get out of here and concentrate on Blackpool and Portsmouth. And they couldn't have got it far wrong. What I find more disturbing, though, is the fact that, you know, these players were given a lifeline by the demise of other clubs around us that are failing miserably. Barnsley have dropped some points, Bolton have dropped some points, Peterborough dropped some points. What more motivation do you need than to basically go out there, stand your ground, be mentally strong? You're right, Northampton weren't going to play it on the floor. They weren't going to play it wide. They weren't going to play the football that we like to play. This is a team that hadn't played, they hadn't won in a month, Northampton, and we'd won four on the bounce. And it just throws up the whole catalyst of this league and how bizarre it can be and how it can bite in the backside. But to be honest, Jason, I never thought we were going to get a result when I saw him warming up. I just thought, there's something not right here. They don't look sharp. They don't look interested. And lo and behold, as we're going to the game, there were so many errors. It was bizarre how bad it was.
It almost, yeah, absolutely. We'll go into it. It reminds me of, you say about opportunity and, you know, the where Derby were in that game and the mental side of things. I hark back to that trip to Reading. With a win that night, we could have gone top of the league. We didn't string three passes together all game that night. And we weren't against a team that were, you know, full of confidence or absolutely blowing teams away. I mean, obviously, they've got their own relegation battle. You know, they've got a relegation battle going on. And I thought that night, again, the mental side of things, which I think we can say probably has been questioned a few times for Derby this season. But as I say, after that Bolton game, which wasn't the prettiest, but they got over it, with six games after that to go, you just, there was a part of me that just thought, has it now just finally started to kick in? Is this the turning point for a positive? I wasn't expecting to be talking too much about a negative turn, but I think the mental side of thing is right. I must admit, I missed the first 6 or 7 minutes, so I certainly didn't see any warming up or anything like that. But you're right, Paul did allude to it in his press conference. And I mean, I suppose it's hard. I'm trying to look at sort of points to try and justify it, because I don't really think there is much justification. But when obviously two or three of the players from last Saturday were missing with injury or niggles and were on the bench, it does disrupt things a little bit. But then again, over the last 3 months, we've had that many injuries that we have had to swap and change. We haven't had that massive settled side. I mean, as I say, last Saturday against Bolton, Forsyth slips in and we look unbeatable. Saturday, I thought Derby's defence were all over the place. I didn't think Bradley had a good game. I don't think Cashin had a good game. Not going to knock Nels. I can't remember him doing too much wrong. Obviously, you're without Foz. Ward's on the bench because he's got a slight strain, but comes on for the last 20 minutes and is probably best player on pitch, so I don't understand why he didn't start. You know, there's all these different things. I'm not the manager. I don't see him day in, day out. I'm not going to necessarily knock his selection, but it's always going to be a debate and a talking point when things don't go quite right. But there was a few changes. Obviously, a player that I've called out on this podcast more than once, Tom Barkhuizen's missing on Saturday. And Derby, things just didn't work. Again, it's the same things we've been saying. Certain players come in, come off the bench, have an impact, they start, they don't do enough. Thompson looked missing on Saturday after having a pretty solid 25, 30 minutes against Bolton. Against Sibley, he's no wing-back. I'm sorry, he's not. He does a job against some sides, others he's going to get found out. As I say, we had a bit of a woeful time of it at the back. They got in two or three times, and I was pulling my hair out watching the game thinking, how can we defend this poorly when we defended quite resolutely 7 days previous? But then you look at it and I say, it's a different back line again. So there's all these different things, and we are still left with this quandary, Jack, six games to go. We've still got more questions than answers about this Derby side, which is, for me, heavily worrying. I'm still looking at it that we're in pole position, because we are, to get second. But if we were to slip up now, especially with the injuries weighing on us a little bit, if we were to go into them playoffs, I am in no confidence that we'd get through them successfully at all. So I do think we're almost autos or bust. But then it'd be very Derby to fall into the playoffs out of form and go and win them. So we just don't know. We are at that crossroads again, aren't we?
Yeah, which is such a disappointment, I guess, from where we were, what, a week ago or so. I mean, if we're talking about kind of disruption to the team, it wasn't just the fact that we had a change of personnel. I'd say, you know, without Tom Barkhuizen there, the system obviously changed somewhat and it didn't work in the same way, because you had, you know, Liam Thompson generally looked like he was playing the furthest forward of the three, I think, if I remember rightly. And, you know, he was playing as a sort of, I guess the intention was for him to play as more of a conventional 10 staying centrally. If, you know, rather than Barkhuizen having that freedom to go, as he said previously, wherever he wants and drift and create a front three at times. And that's what we've kind of relied upon. I think Sibley is an interesting one, because obviously, you know, I did that write a few weeks back and talking about the different structure, the different setup. I think that was never going to be possible for them, for a team who were going to stop them from playing. Northampton were going to stop them from playing in the way they have been, and they weren't going to, especially with the changes. That understanding didn't appear to be there in the same way. And yeah, Northampton, fair play to them. You know, again, they did their job. They made things difficult and grabbed a goal for themselves, which, to be fair, was a good finish, I think. It was pretty decent goal. So yeah, I mean, for Derby now, you look at it and yeah, you're right. Confidence going into playoffs would be minimal. To be fair, my confidence is always minimal going into any sort of playoff. I hate them. You know, my first real playoff memory is Bobby Zamora, and you know that set the tone.
Mine was Leicester in the early 90s. So Chris's will be a little bit further back than that, I imagine. So we've had some terrible ones. There's no two things about it.
Oh yeah,
Blackburn.
Yeah. Yes, of course. Yeah. So. We will cross that bridge. There is still plenty. We'll just point it out there. This is not going to be negative, negative, negative.
No.
There is still plenty of football to go. And as I say, in 4 days' time, things could look, well,
five, oh, yeah.
One could look a hell of a lot different, couldn't it?
It absolutely could. But, you know, I don't know what you think on this, Chris. But I guess the points in terms of that is that we're thinking about playoffs now. Whereas a week ago, maybe we weren't, and we were probably thinking at that point, if we are going to the playoffs, we'd be in a decent position to, you know, with the football we've played. But obviously, you know, to get into the playoffs from that point, it would have taken a slump. And, you know, you do not want to be, if you are in the playoffs, you do not want to be the team who's dropped into them. You want to be the team that's, you know, been on the good run of form. You want to be the Lincoln, generally. You know, or somebody in a good run, And that's where, yeah, it's an interesting dynamic. But again, as you say, yeah, cross that bridge when we come to it. But I guess that's where part of the pessimism would come from as well. It's not just the we've been hurt before aspect. There's an element that would be, you know, expected of any fan base. But absolutely, there's loads of football still to play, loads of twists and turns, and you know, at the end of the day, even if the chasing pack of the three behind Derby win all their games in hand, they're still, what, a point behind Derby, each of them?
I'd tell you one of the biggest frustrations I had on Saturday is that Northampton Town have got a goalkeeper who's 22 years old, he's on loan from Wolves, who hasn't made a senior first team appearance ever. And I think he's spent most of his career in non-league. I think he was at Rochdale last year for a few games. But I remember him, Louis Moulden, from a bunch of amateurs when he played at Ebbsfleet, and Dorking were always playing Ebbsfleet in various playoffs. And Louis Moulden looked dodgy then in non-league. And I didn't see Derby at all peppering that goal. We were trying to walk the ball in, and that concerns me. You know, you should scout the team that you're playing against. Northampton concede goals for fun. They're not a good team. And when you see a goalkeeper that's only played a handful of games in a very important game, you saw him flapping on the Abu Adams miss on the header, which was an awful miss. But the keeper was absolutely panicking to the point where he somehow nearly scored from his shoulder because the keeper was so far out of position. Waghorn's miss over the bar is unforgivable. He's 5 yards. He's a 34-year-old professional striker. Get your head over the ball. There's no pace needed to be put on that ball. Technique sends it. The keeper was nowhere to be seen. He was so out of position. I think the football was poor. It was poor. And their goal shouldn't have stood. I think there was definitely obstruction on Kane Wilson. It's an awful refereeing decision. He's 15 yards square of the incident, and he just lets the ball go. Then you go on to Bradley, who was just allowing, I don't know, he just sticks a foot out, allows the guy to come on his stronger foot inside. It was a joke of a defending act, and we'll come to that, you know, shortly. But what really, really annoys me is that Northampton's tactics were so obvious. They were stopping Derby from playing on the floor. They wanted aerial football. They didn't water the pitch. The pitch was bone dry. The ball was going unbelievably slow. I don't know if you noticed, guys, but I've never seen a pitch so slow this season. I think it was probably the slowest surface I've seen. So Paul Waugh must have seen that pre-game. He must have surely known what was coming. I don't think it was a game for Hourihan with a pitch that slow. His style of play doesn't suit a slow pitch. And then you look at the aerial attack from Northampton. They bombarded Derby with long balls. There's something like 56 aerial challenges throughout the game. That's like one every minute and a half. The ball was in the air more times on the floor, but still Derby had the chances to put them away. And the fact of the matter is, guys, is that it comes down to that mental aptitude again. They just weren't ready for it. And I just thought that by, you know, Abu Adams is a midfield general. Yes, he gets stuck in. But come on, guys, we could bury that. You can't blame pressure. You can't blame. It's just really bad technique. It's just complacent. He thought that ball was in the back of the net before he even touched it with his head. It was awful. Same as Waghorn. Waghorn is celebrating that finish before he's even touched it. It's just the mental strength of this team is the question I have. We'll come to injuries, but ultimately, when they came from the Bolton game, and we haven't spoke about it, my say on this. I personally thought that the Bolton game, the Mayor's show was out, and everyone thought it was job done. And that worried me. The way we celebrated, or some of our fans celebrated, it was job done. And I thought that was a very, very, very naive thing to do. To me, I'd get off the pitch, job done. Let's get in the changing rooms. Let's get home and concentrate. We were celebrating like we'd won the FA Cup, guys. And I don't like to see that with 7 games to go, personally.
Well, Bolton did it at Bolton. Barnsley did it at Oakwell and they beat us, didn't they? And what, look at what their form's been since we visited there.
Exactly.
I'm all for the occasion. The occasion was fantastic last Saturday, and I'm all for the fans celebrating with that, and I'm all for the players enjoying that moment and taking it on board. But like you say, you then can't churn out that 7 days later, because that's just, it's just not, it's not right for this level of the season. And as I say, it is now bringing up amongst fan bases unnecessary not criticism, but I suppose there is a bit of criticism, but just unnecessary conversations that need to be having when you want your whole club, your whole fan base behind your team for the final five games, which is still all to play for in Derby's hands, like Jack said. We win them all. We're going up. It's as simple as that. I think that's easier said than done. But you know, it's a weird old league this year. And I think we can all admit that Derby haven't been great all season, and you know they're still up there. So we've said it before. You have to give them kudos. But I think that's more to the detriment of the league than it is to the quality of football that Derby have played this season. And I think Saturday's a massive, obvious example of that, that Derby turned up thinking that they could stroll out there, do what they've been doing over the last 2 months, and the result would come. And as I said at the top of it all, Chris, Derby have played like that, have had those chances away from home in the last 3 months, got one of them away or two of them away, and Derby have wandered away with, you know, with the 3 points. We can put it down to, I think, a lot of things, and I'm not knocking any point that anybody's made, but there was a lot that sort of went against, for me, trying to defend it a little bit. There was a fair bit that didn't go Derby's way on Saturday. As you said, the pitch conditions weren't great for Derby, not necessarily Derby's fault. They should adapt to it. Obviously, we'd got players missing. We weren't all quite on song. We all know you can carry two or three, but you can't carry six or seven. The substitutions, last Saturday, Paul Warne's substitutions were a masterclass. This week, on last Saturday just gone, none of them made an impact. It's there's just everything about it. Then you go into the misses. Then you go into Bradley's red card obviously didn't really make a difference Saturday, but that could have huge implications on the end of the season. He's been probably one of our better players over the last 5 to 6 weeks. And a moment of madness, he's now going to miss the next, three games, isn't he? So basically, he's there for the last couple. And to be honest with you, if other players are fit, I feel Paul Warne's probably the type of manager that would turn around and say, your fault, you shouldn't have got sent off. I'd be surprised if he plays again for Derby this season, if injuries don't dictate that. But diving in, I mean, we've had a right... I didn't think we'd be able to talk this long on it, to be honest. But going into those key things, how the ref hasn't blown for a foul for the build-up of their goal, I don't understand. I think that's a foul to me. But as Chris, you've just alluded to, Bradley's not done his job in the corner. The ball comes over and Cashin's 3 yards away from anybody. A game that I don't know what it was with Cashin on Saturday. There was just something about him. He just didn't look. He wasn't his usual self passing. He was putting balls all over the place. It wasn't a tidy performance from Cashin on Saturday at all, which not going to argue with. He's had very many good ones and kept us in game. So, you know, it's not an absolute slate of a player, but he was off song. I'd say Bradley was off song. There was just too many off song on Saturday. Horahan, Chris, absolute point. I can't believe he didn't get hauled off. I honestly do not understand how he didn't get hauled off. It wasn't a game for him. Wasn't that type of game. And it just passed him by. And we did. We had too many underperformers and too many passengers in that game. As I say, Joe Ward's probably one of the standout performances, and he only came on with 20 minutes to go. I thought Blackett Taylor came on and looked livelier than he has. I wouldn't say he was anything fantastic, but he was livelier than he was. But all in all, and it's hindsight, it's the ifs, buts and maybes again. Collins puts one of them chances away. Dwight Gale certainly puts one of them chances away. And as I say, it becomes one of them games that Derby have had just recently over the last couple of months. Get in there, not exactly fantastic, come away with the 3 points. And then that now, with Gale probably out for the season, okay, Collins might be back by Friday. We will see. Great if he is. I think we're going to need him more Tuesday night than probably Saturday. You've got Washington come back. I don't think he touched the ball in half an hour. No disrespects to him, but I don't think he did. There's just Mendes Lang now, possibly out for the season. Barkhuizen, obviously, we don't know what that injury is. It's one step forward and two steps back again all of a sudden, which at this point in the season is not really a position that we want to be at. But Jack, Chris kind of alluded to it there. I'm still, for all what we've just talked about for the last 30 minutes, I'm still sort of gobsmacked how Derby haven't come away with something out of that game. Because as I say, it's exactly what I said to the lads I was watching with it on Saturday. Missed opportunity, 100%. But Derby have played like that away from home, and better, of course. They've had those types of games. The big difference from Saturday to previous weeks is things just didn't go for Derby on Saturday. For whatever reason, lack of performance is a big one. But we've won games like that over the last few weeks, which has kept the momentum going. And of course, we went into this game, was it 4 on the spin?
Yeah.
On the spin after two back to obviously after back to back defeats, you thought that was the mini wobble as such, and it was get past Northampton, get that gap to 7, that's massive, or get that gap to 4, yeah, 7, get that gap to 7, okay, game in hand, fine, you go and do what you can do, Bolton. But again, we're now looking at it in a completely different light, Jack.
Yeah, we are. I mean, just going back to what Chris was saying about the pitch, I did find it interesting, actually. Paul Warne did say to Radio Derby in his post-match interview that in the first half, Derby didn't move the ball quickly enough. Now, again, he's saying that come full time, and we could have, as you said, you know, seen that that was going to happen, that Northampton were going to try and achieve that, so, you know, to stop Derby from moving the ball quickly. So again, it's a weird one. And, you know, you say, you know, the substitutions again weren't anywhere near as effective as last week. I mean, Joe Ward was the only one who really did anything of note when he came on. That was positive, certainly. But yeah, it's a bit Jekyll and Hyde, really, to go from one to the other. And you saw that again with the tactics and the substitutions. You know, Warne got a lot of praise after the Bolton game, and it feels like it's been completely flipped. Now, that's not to say that we can't bounce back, but yeah, with the injury list and so on, it's definitely a struggle. I guess the only other person who we've not mentioned who I think did quite well, got one of the better ratings on everything I've read, as well as, you know, making my notes and my piece, was Kane Wilson. Did a few things in an attacking sense down the right. He did, you know, he managed to beat Monte a fair few times as well. But again, where, you know, you play later on and you practically had him up top with Washington, it looked like, at times. And that was just, I mean, that was just bizarre. But I wonder whether him and Ward being on that right-hand side playing together again, that might be something that we have to really take advantage of in these closing 6 games with the injury list as it is. So, yeah, I think there could be a role to play there. They can both kind of rotate and keep that same unpredictability. But yeah, it's a funny one. I mean, the other interesting thing, of course, looking ahead to Friday, is we are almost certainly going to go back to a back four unless maybe Callum Elder is put into the back three. It's kind of the only other the only other person I could maybe think of. He wouldn't, yeah, Warren wouldn't put Ward or Wilson in there. But yeah, in terms of fit centre backs, it is Cashin and Nelson, which at least they're the two kind of first choice ones. But that's, yeah, it's going to be a really interesting one to see that on Friday, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. I think towards the end of the game, I think we had a front three of Wilson, Bradley, and Washington, which just tells you everything that you need to know at the moment.
Yeah.
But Chris, just to round off that piece for Northampton, as Jack's just alluded to there, injuries could rock the back line, and we've got a fair amount of injuries. Injuries are unfortunately part of the game. Headbutting somebody in the 6-yard box is not necessarily part of the game, especially from a seasoned professional like Sonny Bradley. And as we say, with only six games to go, he's going to miss three of them now automatically. I mean, who know? Time will only tell how much of a bad decision from Bradley that is, and how costly that's going to be. But I don't believe Paul Warne would have been shaking his hand on the way down that tunnel on blow up time on Saturday.
I just wonder if he's got an egg hunt in Luton to get to over the Easter break, and he needed the time off. Disgraceful. Simple answer, guys. Disgraceful. The guy walked off the pitch. He didn't even look at the referee. And the thing was, he did the incident. He clearly headbutted the guy, and then he went for the goalkeeper after as well, which I find really strange. He's going after a 22-year-old kid in goal. And all he was trying to do is prevent him from doing more damage. He to me, he should never play in a Derby shirt again, personally. And I don't think he will. I think that's the last time you'll see him play, both this year and next season. And we'll come to that in the second part of the show. One thing I will say quickly is I'd love to know what Thompson's role was on Saturday, because I haven't got a clue. He's not a creative player. He shouldn't be playing an inside right as he did. Didn't work. Why didn't they put Elder in the back five? At wing back, why didn't they put Sibley as inside right and put square pegs and square holes against a team technically less superior than us? He went for something out of the ordinary, and I have not got a clue what Thompson's role was.
I don't want to go over it in massive, massive details because we've kind of highlighted sort of the injury situation at Derby, and that it's been a conversation that we've had a fair amount of times this season about the number of people on the treatment table, Jack. But that list is long, and it's not only is it long, it's key players in key positions at a very, very key time of the season. Time will tell how much of an impact that's going to have. Obviously, Washington coming back. It's a body. I can't say it's a wanted one, but it is what it is. You never know. He might get one off the end of his nose at Fratton Park, and Derby fans will have a different opinion. But I don't think there'll be too many Derby fans hoping that wishing him back. But but there are key players now missing. Mendes Lang looks to be a bit of a nasty one. We already have lost Nyambe. We've probably lost Gale, unfortunately. I did hear in the post-match that, or that it might have even been the pre-match, that John Jules might be fit before the end of the season, which would be, I mean, what a loan signing that would be if he came back for the last two and fired us to promotion. But I'm not going to count me chickens on that one. Barkhuizen, obviously, we've not heard the extent of that one. Foz, we've not heard the extent of that one. But that injury list is a lot longer than we'd like it to be, with just 5 weeks of the season remaining.
It is. It's, I mean, Gale going off against Bolton felt like a big blow to the attack. And then we've lost Barkhuizen. And now Mendes Lang, who's been, the kind of main man, the talisman for that front line for a lot of the season with, some really good performances. And, at that point, it was, you heard that at full time and you thought, when it rains, it really does pour, doesn't it? In terms of both the bad day at the office and the ever increasing injury list. And within this context, to have suspensions thrown in there is even worse, right? But yeah, it presents a really, really difficult situation now where, yeah, what do you do about James Collins? What do you do about Tyrese Jones-Jules if he gets to fitness before the end of the season? Do you have to risk them and throw them in perhaps earlier than you'd like? What use is, somebody, yes, Washington is now fit to play, but he's not sharp, he's coming back. And that same thing we saw with him on Saturday could happen with a Collins or a Jones-Jules. It's not always a seamless step back into action as well. So even the players who are coming back is, not, well, far from ideal potentially. So yeah, it's one where if you're doing the predictions for the lineups, if you're on FanHub or something like that, and you're doing it, your options now are fairly limited, and you are in with a decent chance of getting it right. But it's just how these players then fit together into an 11 as well, where, yeah, I think we're probably going to go back to a back four. And yeah, what does the midfield look like? And up front, you've got who have you got left? You've got Waghorn and Washington. And is that pretty much it? The players we can guarantee that are, as it stands, fit for Friday? The others, I can't think of anyone else where we know that at present, on the current information, we'll have them for Friday. Collins could be back. Mendes Lang, we don't know. Barkhouser, we don't know. Jones-Jules won't be back for another few weeks at least. That looks like the forward options. So whether we see one of Ward or Wilson go further up, I guess the only other thing, or do we see Sibley get pushed back into that 10 role or something like that, which I think Chris is right. I think he'd have had more success there on Saturday than he did at wing back. And yeah, I mean, even if you think about, in fact, just going back right to the start of the season, Warne played Liam Thompson in that left wing back role, didn't he? And thinking about it, would they have had more success in trying to keep that bit of fluidity and dynamism in that front three? By saying, right, Liam Thompson, we need you to just be out there and run up and down the line, get stuck in, and have Louis Sibley in that more attacking role with that more kind of creativity and freedom. But again, these things are that, we don't know. It's easy to say in hindsight, but it's all these sorts of little dilemmas now which are, going to be an issue for a lot of positions because, yeah, just how do you fit this team together with what is left? It's, yeah, you, as I say, I think you can predict personnel easier because there's less, but predicting the actual shape and the roles and the setup is something that I might have to sit down and try and do because, I think it might be interesting, but yeah.
I think, Chris, we all want options. The ideal is obviously a 22-man squad and two players for every position. Just trying to, I agree with everything that Jack's just said, but trying to look at it on the other side of the coin. We have seen it, not just Derby at other places, that having the lack of options, having the same 11 bear near enough out there can bear fruit at the same time, especially with the running. That we've the smaller. I mean, if we're looking at playing 15 games with the same 11, it's a completely different scenario than playing the next five. Because Jack, a point that you picked up on earlier that I want to ask pair of you as well is, for me now, Friday is win or bust for me personally. I don't think anything other than a win on Friday, even though there's games to go. I just think for confidence, for momentum, for everything else, because at the end of the day, no dis and as I say, the Derby way would be to go to Fratton Park and beat them. I'm just not seeing it in the form that they're in at home at all. I'm not. So I've already got that one in the loss column, if I'm completely honest. So that then, if you don't win on Friday, That's three games without a win at the most crucial time of the season, and I don't think that's recoverable. There is a small caveat to that, that the fact that in the last four, sort of everybody at the top plays each other. But that's a lottery. Who knows what that's going to do? Derby have got to look at it and take part in what they can take part in and do what they can do. Everybody said Bolton wasn't a must win, but it wasn't a must lose. And I think that was quite correct. But I do think it was, for confidence, was a bit of a, you'd got to kind of win it. I actually think Friday is even bigger now than Bolton because of the result on Saturday. I think if you backed it up and won against Northampton, Friday you maybe could have sacrificed something, but you're at home. You're going to have 30-odd thousand. It's bank holiday. It's going to be a busy afternoon at Pride Park. And it was the chance to build on, you know, the last couple of games. I'm looking at Friday now with everything going on. And the point that you alluded to, Jack, is if Collins is fit, do you start him? Yeah, I don't see. I'd wheel anybody out there for Friday because I honestly think Derby have to get those 3 points because I am expecting a negative result on Tuesday. And then you go into the final, what, four? Three? Four? Yeah, four. You go into the final four and you see where you are and you get ready for battle again and you pick your battles as you have to. I don't see how Derby not winning coming out of Friday without 3 points is going to be positive. I just don't. I think that really could curtail them for automatics. And as I say, because of them, the weight of pressure, I think we've all probably been in situations, you might be hurt, you might be injured, but if you've got something to fight for, you can probably find that extra, you know, 10-20% that keeps you going. Whereas I've got a feeling if Derby do lose on Friday, especially if other teams around us win and then they've got the game in hand, it comes back to what Chris mentioned earlier with the mental side of things. I think Derby could crumble, unfortunately, and peter out and go out with a whimper. Even if they were to make the playoffs, Chris, I can't see Derby getting to Wembley, and I certainly can't see him winning it. So, for me, injuries or no injuries, Friday for me now is must win. People said Bolton was. I was off and off with it. I think Friday now is must win.
Well, I'm going to put my coach's hat on with the experience I have. And the key to Friday is put as many square pegs in square holes, irrelevant of the formation. Forget the formation. Just look at who you've got fit and how many square pegs you can put in the correct positions. Like going back to Northampton, just go, we shouldn't have lost that game. I'd have rather come out with a 0-0 because a 2-point buffer means a team has to win to go above you. A 1-point buffer means that they can scrape through on a goal difference charge. So that's why I thought it was naive. I also thought that Paul Warne didn't play enough square pegs and square holes on Saturday. And I could go back to that again, but I won't. Hurriham stayed on the pitch for 100 minutes. I have no idea why. One thing I will say, going back to the point on the Northampton game, I'm still convinced there's quite a few players out there also carrying niggles. And I've just looked at the injury list quickly and all the relevant injuries they have, and they all seem to be a common denominator of being overworked, hamstrings, thigh strains, ligaments. You know, Jake Rooney would be a crucial player to have at this point in time. Look, going into the Blackpool game, me personally, we have to go to a 4-4-2. You can't play around trying to fit a 3-5-2 system in with too many gambles. Let's go with what we know. Let's go with the 4-4-2. If we can get 8 pegs out there that go in the right holes, it's much better to do that than have 6 in the wrong holes with a more dynamic system. That's my opinion. I would be brave to put Blackett up top with his pace. I would have that pitch zippy. I'd be watering that pitch till 10 seconds before they kick off if we have to. Derby County cannot play on a slow pitch. It zapped them of energy, guys. Derby looked absolutely exhausted. Northampton are used to playing on that surface. Derby's legs. It's just down to tactical naivety. Let's win dirty. on Friday. Let's pack the midfield with strength. Adams, Smith. Let's get them in there together. Let's be difficult to break down. We are a set play specialist team at the moment. We seem to be doing well off set plays. Ward's going to be fit. Let's get him to bring those dynamic balls in the box. Wilson looks back on form. You know, we still have the ability and we still have the skill set to break Blackpool down. They're not on great form themselves. They don't travel well. They're not the dynamic team we saw earlier in the season. Let's just stop them from scoring. Let's do that job first. Once we stop them from scoring, they're going to then think, right, do we hold? Because they still think they've got an outside chance of the playoffs. So they've got to come for us. They're not going to sit back and play counter-attacking football. So let's just be strong, guys. If we go 4-4-2, let's make sure the correct players are in that position. What I will say finally, Jack, on your point about centre forwards, we have a young kid by the name of Tony Weston, who is a fantastic striker. He showed his qualities in a couple of games earlier in the season. If we're playing Palmer French shit or bus, to me, if you've got a fresh 20-year-old kid out there, who what better challenge do you have than becoming a hero?
Yeah, actually, because I mean, it's not something that, you know, Paul Warne has done much this season, but 100%. I mean, if you think about what's happened previously with some of the academy players who came through and were thrown in the deep end as well, you know, sometimes it is that if you've got to win, then go for what is kind of sink or swim. If we're going through this kind of 4-4-2, which would seem like a sensible, you know, not overly complicated system to, as you say, just keep square pegs in the square holes, then what are we looking at? Probably, we'll assume Wildsmith still in goal, do Wilson right back, Cashin and Nelson, Elder on the left, and then probably Ward on the right, Smith and Adams, you know, or you know, you could throw Thompson or Hourihan in there and you still got centre mids, but we're thinking Smith and Adams. And then I guess the only question becomes, do you put Blackett Taylor on the left? Do you put him up top for the pace? If you put him up top for the pace, who do you put on the left? But do you know what? You can afford a couple, as you say, of players who aren't in, you know, in a perfect position in a conventional formation, who can kind of drift that a little bit more and, you know, get into spaces. So yeah, I mean, something like 4-4-2 is probably what we should see. It is. It's trying to keep, as you say, people in their best positions. It's just quite how it all fits together could still go a number of ways, because I could still see a world where Paul Warne does go slightly rogue. Just there's that niggling doubt in the back of my mind. I would hope it doesn't happen, but there's that little bit of something making me think, oh, are we going to keep it simple? Sometimes big game, you know, I think there's two kind of schools of thought, isn't there? There's one that is stick with what you know, do your jobs, get it done. And others on that kind of basis of it being win or bust, who go, well, we may as well try something radical. And if it comes off, great. So we win. But yeah, hopefully keep it with players in the best positions. Give a Weston or someone a chance. You know, Brown is still out on loan, isn't he? That's, I guess, the other interesting curveball. If they could kind of ring Gates head up, but they probably don't want to stunt his, you know, his form there now, because he's had a good couple of games, and I think he's been away with Jamaica's under 23s, hasn't he? So yeah, I think you're right. I think just simple 4-4-2, line it up, and even, you know, and in terms of stopping Blackpool from scoring, you've got your two backs of four, and if we have to spring and hit them on the counter at times as well, even though we're at home, if it's must not lose, then that's fine. If it's must win, then you can make that more attacking. You can vary that a little bit and you can tinker with that.
Yeah. The reason I think
Friday is, before we move on to other things, is you've got home game, the next two are away, Portsmouth, Wickham. As I say, I don't. It would be very derby to go there and get bit and win. It'd be very derby to go there and get tonked. Then you've got eight days before then you play Wickham away, before the final three. So that's why I think 3 points is massive on Friday. Bolton go to Stevenage on Friday. Now the back end has fell out of Stevenage. They've not won in five, but they are at home and they are still clinging on to that seventh. Well, I think the seventh at the moment. They're clinging on to playoff hopes if they want to. And we've said it all the season along, if we'd expected them to drift away, and they're sort of starting to. But they are still in there. That's a must-win game for Stevenage on Saturday. This is where it would have been very nice. I appreciate it was international break. And we mentioned on the podcast about, was it a good thing that Derby played on Saturday when everybody didn't, because they could have put the marker down? Well, yeah, of course, if they'd have won it. But it would be very nice to see a Bolton, how they reacted to being beat at Pride Park, because I think it's fair to say they're possibly the better side. But just their reaction would have been, it would have been interesting to see their reaction to a game. But then again, that game would possibly have been at home, the one that got moved. I'm not certain. It's the home comforts again. So they've gone to Pride Park, hot, hostile atmosphere, got beat. They now go to a bank holiday trip to Stevenage, which we clearly haven't liked this season, and many other teams haven't. So Bolton could get the same treatment. So that's why I think it's almost a second chance for Derby to eradicate Northampton. As Paul Warren alludes to, we weren't going to win them all, and we weren't. I understand that. Was that one we were expected to lose? No. But at the end of the day, we're getting a second chance. If we can go and get and Pride Park's rocking again on Friday, get the result, because we've only got to look after our own things, and then you look at 5 o'clock and go, Stevenage have done us a favour. You then almost can see going to Fratton Park as a bit of a free hit. If you can get anything out of it, that's great. Before you know it, you're four games to go. You've got to navigate Wickham. And then you think the next three should be 9 points, arguably. I know it doesn't work like that. We thought we were going to win on Saturday. But that's my way of looking at it, Chris. And I think there's actually probably now more pressure on Friday than there actually was last Saturday.
Spot on, Jason. And I take your point about regarding the last three games. I'd much rather have them now than the way our fixtures pan out from now to the end of the season, because the Northampton Town buffer of 7 points would have been crucial, absolutely crucial, because we could have afforded to get a win and a defeat. I agree with you, Jason. I don't see us getting anything from Fratton Park at all. I'm still not convinced that they are a guaranteed title winner. I still believe that there is twists and turns. One thing I will say is that we have to go with a mindset of playing, I call it Billy Ball, good old Billy Davis. You know, as much as people detested him and didn't like him because of his whatever he did, his tenure at Forest, what have you, if you go back to that horrible season of getting promotion, his football, he put square pegs in square holes. He never, ever took a gamble. The only time he took a gamble was when he went crazy in the January market and brought in four or five players. I have no idea why. But he always stuck to what he knew, which was the right players for the right positions for the right games. If Paul Warren stops being gung-ho and stops being trying to be the League One Pep, as he claims people call him, then we might have a chance, guys. We might just have a chance. Go with what you know and not what you don't. Do that. Be sensible. And if we get beat, we get beat. But at least we've got beat knowing we've done the right thing. What will annoy me is if we go out there Friday, play a ridiculous patched up 3-5-2, lose 2 or 3-0, And he turns around and says to us, well, we had to go for it, didn't we? Well, no, we don't. We come out there, we win 1-0. We park the bus if we have to, and then move on to Portsmouth. Because like you said, every game that goes by and points get racked up, potentially another player comes back, another player comes back. And whilst we're filling our pockets with cheeky points, we're allowing the squad to build again. Like, we could have the best squad in the playoffs, but we'll have the worst form. So it just nullifies each other. So let's just park the bus, win dirty, win sensibly, and let's bring headaches into close season and not now.
I think so. And I think, again, there'll have been a fair few eyebrows raised from Saturday's. Bolton would have expected Derby to win. Portsmouth would have expected Derby to win. Peterborough would have expected Derby to win. And a few eyebrows, Jack, would have been raised from that result on Saturday. As I say, it's a shame that those teams weren't involved on Saturday, especially Bolton, to see how they would have reacted to that defeat at Pride Park. Because I think that is quite key. They, you know, obviously they took a couple of hammerings in their local derbies, but then managed to find a bit of form again. So that, again, that's probably three in five games where pressure's been on them with two rivals and a top two battle, and they failed in all three of them. So it'd be interesting to see how then they reacted. And as we say, going to Stevenage is not going to be an easy trip. We just got to hope that Stevenage can find a bit of format somewhere and ruffle a few feathers and do us a favour. But for me, just to round everything up, Friday, your opinion, is it do or die Friday? I think it's going to be difficult after. If Derby lose Friday, I can't see, although a couple of them are away, I can't see every single result keep going in Derby's favour.
Yeah, I think if you lose on Friday, then you've got to be fairly, you know, pretty much perfect from there in. You get a point, you at least, you know, get something and stop the rot a little bit of from this last game and the atmosphere. You can grab something, but really, if we're working on the assumption that they're going to go away from Fratton Park empty-handed, then yes, it is. I mean, as I said earlier, if we were looking at four or five wins from the last seven before Northampton, so after the Bolton game, if that's what we were looking at, because we were on what how many points were we on? Let's have a look. Sorry, I've just completely blanked on that.
78.
Yeah, 78. Thank you. I've had that in my head all week, like ever since the Bolton game, and it just goes at the exact moment. Typical. But so realistically, what's the magic 2 points per game that everybody talks about is 92 points, and that would probably, based on projections and previous seasons, that'd probably be enough. Now, to get that, we are talking 14 points. So realistically, we were saying, right, seven games, you either win five, lose two, or you only lose one of your final six, you win four, draw the other two. That gets you your 92. Now, if you lose on Friday, you're thinking, to get to that 92, well, it'd be 93. You'd have to win all five games. Maybe you can get away with falling a couple short. So as Chris said, it's that buffer. Even, you know, there's a psychological advantage of being 7 points ahead, even with games at hand. But even just aside from that, and just looking at our own picture and not even looking at other teams around us, with what we need to aim for, you lose on Friday and you are talking probably, you've certainly got to be unbeaten and probably win at least four of those five, which, yeah, becomes a real struggle. Whereas you win on Friday, you can afford a slip up somewhere. I mean, personally, before the Northampton game, I thought we'll probably take them. If there's a game that we, you know, Blackpool might be difficult. You know, that was difficult early in the season, even though they're not doing as well now. Portsmouth, bit of a free hit, no expectation. And I thought, if there's someone that's going to come completely somewhat out of nowhere and, you know, take something off us, probably Wickham, because they like to just, you know, it's a pain when you're at Wickham. they set up purely to be a pain, like Northampton did on Saturday, to be fair. Now, yeah, you don't have that buffer now, and you've got to be able to push through that, because yeah, and especially so if you don't win on Friday. Win on Friday, you can, you know, get away with one or two draws in these final few games, or you can get away with losing to Portsmouth. As you say, you don't win, and it's, yeah, the points aren't in the bag. We're not doing what we need to do, as Chris was saying, and just keep kind of collecting them, regardless of how well we play. You've got to just keep picking them up, and Friday really does need to be three.
Absolutely. As we've mentioned, there will be more turns. Everybody's got to play each other. Not everybody can win all their final games. That's obvious when everybody plays each other, Chris. But Derby got to take care of their own business. It's all well and good. We had the opportunity at Reading to go top of the league. Didn't do it. We had the opportunity Saturday to get that 7-point buffer. Didn't do it. And then all fans don't then go, well, it's okay because Derby have the capability of winning the next four or five. It's all the a lot of the fan base, certainly from what I've seen, have gone, oh, we're going to need a favour somewhere. And that's, unfortunately, with six games to go of a League One campaign where we've been at the top end for large majorities of it, that's the confidence that fans have got in this team. And that's based on the way, unfortunately, the performances of B. And that, to me, is, as I say, that's a bit of a worrying thing to be in, especially with all the injuries. And if things don't go quite right, there is potentially still a playoff campaign.
There is. What I will say is I've just quickly scoured over the rest of the remaining games with our rivals, and I'm looking at Barnes at the moment. They've got eight games left, of which they only got three at home. They've got an interest in running, because they play three or four teams are in relegation trouble: Burton, Reading, Charlton. They play Stevenage, who are fighting for playoffs. They play Portsmouth away. They play Blackpool away. And their last game is at Northampton. So I think Barnes, they've got to have a miracle. Bolton play Portsmouth at some point. Peterborough play Bolton on the last game of the season. You know, in an ideal world, you'd probably want Portsmouth to blast out Bolton and Posh, but we beat them. I think in a way we want Portsmouth to probably run away with it, other than our result, because that gives you a 6-point, you know, 3 points off two of your rivals. I don't think Barnsley are a problem. I think they will fade. Peterborough are the one that worries me, but you just never know what you're going to get with Peterborough. So, look, I said on Radio Derby a couple of weeks ago that our outcome and our destiny will fall out of our hands and will be based on other people's results, because it could be a complete damp squid of an end of a season, and everyone starts getting ridiculous 0-0 draw, 1-1 draws everywhere, because no one's got the balls to grab this league. And at the moment, no one has got the balls or the confidence to go forward. So Derby just need to be sensible. Be sensible. Win games 1-0. Come out there with the right mentality and let other teams fall apart, because they will do. Barnes will fall apart, I promise you. I think Portsmouth will do us a favour, and Bolton, as Jason alluded to, are an unknown entity. You don't know how they're going to react. They could come back with 2 weeks off completely flat. You just don't know. They may come back and be, you know, 4 or 5 nil pounce on somebody. But I think I think Lincoln might have said it as well, because I think they've got to play a couple of the teams around us as well. So let's look after our own party, absolutely. But let's do it sensibly.
Yeah, I can't argue with that at all. And yeah, you do. I think you do at this point now. You do probably want Portsmouth to run away with it. And you just don't. We don't. Don't like saying this, but you almost don't want us to go there and stuff them, and then they lose a bit of confidence, because, as you said, there isn't anybody really this season that have grasped it by the horns. at all. We've had a couple of grabs at it and we've not done it. Bolton have had a couple of grabs at it. They haven't done it. Peterborough the same. Barnes are the same. Portsmouth have been the most consistent so far, although they've had their wobbles as well. So, yeah, it will be. It won't be the last we have this sort of chat. And as I say, we'll probably sit here after Friday and it's a whole different conversation. And after next Tuesday, it's another different conversation back the other way. There's plenty more twists and turns and in this season, but at the moment, the highs of a couple of Saturdays ago against Bolton, it's dropped dramatically this weekend. But as we know, football can change very, very, very quickly. To round off the pod then this week, Jack, you normally get us a news roundup, but this time we've decided to discuss it for the last 5-6 minutes of the podcast because it's the big one. Off the back of a 2-1 victory against bottom of the league, I believe, AFC Fylde on Sunday. Yeah. Derby host Nottingham Forest in bragging rights. Obviously, Derby, unfortunately, not quite close enough towards the top end of the league this season to be challenging for anything. But still, bragging rights are there, mate. And it's going to be a good spectacle. If you do follow the women as well as the men, a fantastic weekend potentially of football ahead.
And do you know what? Even if you don't, and if you're available, come on down. It's it should be a good game. I mean, the attendance for the reverse fixture at the City Ground was over 6,000. It does keep growing, keeps getting better. Derby's season this year, currently sat in 8th out of 12, hasn't gone quite as well as hoped, granted. But what is up for grabs is bragging rights of doing the double over Forest. So, of course, you cast your mind back to October and it's 2-1 win for Derby at the City Ground. Two goals in the first 10 minutes. Great first half. Couldn't quite grab a third. Then Forrest just managed to pepper the Derby goal. But Anna Draper in net on a dual registration loan from Aston Villa had a stormer in that second half. So that means that coming into this game, I said Derby could do the double, could really, have some bragging rights despite Forrest having a much stronger league position. So Sunday, just gone yesterday, was the Fylde game. Now, Fylde haven't won a game all season, haven't picked up a single point on the road. So Derby looking for their first win in 5 games, had on paper a really good fixture. There was an early chance for Alan Rashton, which Keep got a hand to, but had to push away. Charlotte Steggles was coming for that on the goal line. Rebecca May hit the post from a free kick. And that was, another warning shot for Fylde, who they were, to be fair, they're at the most threatening with pace down that right-hand side. And the game wasn't a quick game, but that was where they had all their chances. Sarah Jackson made a couple of crucial interventions there. And then Derby would open the scoring 3 minutes after the break. Amy Sims smashed them across that coming from the left-hand side. And 10 minutes after that, Hannah Ward clipped a brilliant effort over the keeper from just outside the box in a wide left position. That's two for Derby. They came close to a third. Marley Rhodes-Andrews hitting the bar with 18 minutes to play. And there was a huge let-off when Fylde's number 15 volleyed over from 6 yards, a la Martin Waghorn in the last couple of games, if we want to put that into a Derby men's context. And though the visitors did get a consolation, coolly dispatched penalty, yeah, Derby back to winning ways, first win in 5, and regardless of performance, it has come, as Sam Griffiths said, it's come at the right moment, it's come at a crucial time when they need something, some momentum to go into Sunday. Because if you look at Forest, they are, they've had a much better season than Derby. They're second, they are 12 points off leaders Newcastle, but they do, for one, have 2 games in hand, and of course Newcastle are, were very much expected to be the front runners, even as a newly promoted side, as the only full-time team. So Forest, to keep the pace they have with them, have done really well. Luanne Marie Worsley has been their top scorer, 13 goals. Watch out for her. And also Charlotte Greengrass, 12 goals and 5 assists. She always seems to turn up against Derby. Sophie Domingo, former U and former Leicester player also, has 14 assists this season. She has some real pace and could be a threat out wide. She also, cast your mind back to the game at Fryde Park last year, has a really long throw on her, so that's something to watch out for. But yeah, I think Derby, if Derby play their game, Derby are actually doing really well in attack. They've got we're the third highest scorers in the FA Women's National League North, behind Forest in second and Newcastle, who are really running away on that front. So should be a good game, should be some goals. It's just can we hold on at the back? Can, you know, maybe be a bit more solid than we were in the reverse fixture, or, you know, goalkeeper has a similarly good performance. But I would hope there will be goals and it should be a good spectacle. So if you've got no plans for your Easter Sunday, why not get yourself down to Pride Park for 2 o'clock kickoff?
Absolutely, mate. And I was there for the game at Pride Park last season, and I have to say it was quite an entertaining one. So yeah, might get myself a ticket for that one as well. So a bumper Easter weekend of football for the men's and women's. And hey, let's go out on a limb and say three wins all round, and that'd be fantastic. But we shall see. But we will be back next episode. As I say, should be one out before the Portsmouth game, probably dependent on the result really on Friday, doesn't it? We might be buoyed. I might not want to stare into a camera on Zoom for another hour talking more dismal Derby County. But my thanks go out to Chris. Chris, pleasure as always, mate. Thank you very much.
Cheers, gentlemen. Take care.
And Jack, as always, thank you very much, mate.
Thank you. Yeah, this should be a good week, and we'll speak soon.
Absolutely. This has been the Rams Review. Up the Rams.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of the Rams Review podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If you'd like to get in touch, we're on Twitter at Rams Review 1. Our Facebook is Rams Review Podcast. Or you can drop us an email, ramsreview@hotmail.com. Thanks for listening, and until next time, up the Rams.